Humboldt County's Planning Commission supports ordinances that regulate new and cheaper forms of housing and is recommended they be allowed at maximum density levels. The county's quest to provide housing for low-income and no-income residents reached a milestone with the commission's July 18th votes in favor of tiny house villages and emergency housing village ordinances. The tiny house ordinance sets an approval framework for what's described as detached self-contained units that are no bigger than 400 square feet. Tiny housing density was a focus of commissioners' concerns and discussion. The draft ordinance sets density thresholds according to what's allowed in residential zones, with a limit of 20 units per acre in non-residential areas. Commissioner Peggy O'Neill said 20 units per acre isn't enough to cover construction and other costs, leading to higher rental charges.
I don't see anything in here that guarantees that this affordable housing, this isn't going to be affordable housing and not just a bonus to a landlord to be able to build lower income units and charge whatever they want. People, I've talked to some elders living in RV parks who moved there thinking that, you know, they were going to be able to maintain their space costs, and now it's costing them between $600 and $1,000 in the winter to pay for their space costs and their utilities, and they're living on $1,200 a month in Social Security or $1,300. So how will this not be any different? Because we're giving concessions, I think, to the developer, you know, to say, hey, you don't have to do parking necessarily, you don't have to do this or that, but what's to say that they don't just say, great, this is a good way to maximize my profit and build up 20 or 30 of these and charge whatever I want.
The draft ordinance includes an alternative policy allowing 30 units per acre in non-residential zones, and it gained support among a majority of commissioners. There was further discussion on zoning, with some commissioners vouching for allowing tiny house villages on rural ag and resource lands. The need for low-cost housing in rural areas and what it takes to accommodate it was discussed in this exchange between Planning Director John Ford and O'Neill.
I think part of the thing that we're balancing here and trying to balance is a more affordable housing. And we are talking about and haven't landed on this yet, but sites that have utilities, sites that have access to services, sites that have access to public transportation. And so that's really not in the resource lands.
It's just that having worked for the majority of my career for people who don't live in these areas that have all of this, they still need housing and they're still living in the bushes and in cars. And this would be a step up from homelessness. So I don't think we want to put everybody in an area that necessarily they don't want to live, but that's their community. And I'm talking about the tribal communities, people who live in rural areas. They still need to live somewhere. And so a lot of them are becoming elders and they need housing and they don't want to move to Eureka or McKinleyville to get that housing. They want to stay in their community.
There's a snag with putting tiny house villages on rural lands. It would trigger a full environmental review, and Commission Chair Thomas Mulder noted that a more streamlined process is necessary for the county to meet a deadline on a housing grant funding it's seeking. Commissioners unanimously voted to recommend approval of the tiny house ordinance, including the higher density alternative. A second draft ordinance allows emergency housing villages with sleeping cabins and mobile homes, RVs, and movable tiny houses. During public comment, longtime housing advocate Nezzy Wade praised the county's efforts and described them as setting a historical precedent. But she questioned whether the ordinances have a broad enough range of housing.
In terms of the tiny house village ordinance, affordability and being able to have a wide range, a continuum of housing, so that we're not just talking about things that are affordable and that can be done in rural areas. And it needs to be available for folks that fall into that gap. You know, we have very little shelter and we have a lot of unhoused people. We really need to make it affordable. And I don't know how to do that. I don't know how people, I know all communities in Humboldt would love to have an option to be able to have a small tiny house village community where people who go homeless could stay there and remain in their communities and stay connected. I don't know how we do this. And on the continuum, one of the ways that you can do it is write into these things that incentives for cooperative housing. That's square one. It makes it possible. It stays affordable. You can't ratchet it up and increase because of speculation. There's a lot of things that we haven't talked about that I don't know if we're ready to do this yet. That's my two cents. I really appreciate you working so hard, but I just think there isn't enough information for how people can actually make this happen.
Wade also noted the absence of allowances for tents and yurt-like structures and asked if it's been removed from the draft. Indeed, it has. And Ford explained it's because building codes would have to be changed to allow them. Commissioners voted to recommend approval of the emergency housing ordinance to the Board of Supervisors. The vote included asking the board to explore the possibility of changing building codes to allow the tents and yurts. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.